Thank you, Lord. Can you say thank you, God? It is, it's so good to see you. It's good to be together. It's just good to see faces. It's good to worship. Thank you, Sonny. Interrupt me anytime you like. Isn't it? I mean, it's just a pleasure to be able to worship the Lord. And some great worship. Opening our hearts to God and just telling him how much we love him. And I grew up in a church where that never happened. Once in a while, we sang about love for God, but we very seldom sang, you know, I love you, God. We never really got to that point where we had that kind of a personal, intimate relationship. And what a breakthrough it was in my life when we could start singing those kind of songs where we could not just talk about God, but we can actually address God and speak to him and worship him and just adore him. And we just say today, as believers who are here, we want to just lift up the name of Jesus. We want to give him all glory and honor. He's all we have, and he's all we need, and he is worthy, amen? He is the Lamb of God who takes away all the sin of the world. And if you came in here today and you feel like you're a sinner, you feel like you're lost, you feel like you're not forgiven, well, the good news is that that can change in just an instant. All you need to do is ask Jesus to forgive you, and he's ready. He's quick, the Bible says. He's quick to forgive, and he will stoop down, and he'll find you where you're needy, and he'll bring you where you need to be. And he's done that in my life. He's done that in a lot of lives that are here. He's a God of grace. He's a God of amazing grace. And sometimes we come into a place like this and we think, oh, man, my sins are so big and what I've done is so wrong. It doesn't matter what you've done. That's the reality of God's grace. It's such an enormous grace. It doesn't matter what you've done. His grace, the Bible says, is sufficient and that he will forgive you. And you don't need to jump through a lot of hoops. There's no test. You know, all you need to do is just say, Lord, I believe in you, and I need you, and wipe my heart clean. Amen? So, you know, don't leave today. If you're not sure about that, it'd be a tragedy for you to leave. We'll be ready at the end of the service or even throughout the service. If someone stands up and says, I need someone to pray with me, and you go in that room, I can assure you of something. Someone will follow you in there, and they'll pray with you. And why not cry out? You know, this is a desperate thing. And to not live with God is desperation. And if you don't have God, you are a desperate person. Amen. Good news. It's really good news. God's got such a wonderful eternal life in store for us. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of things before we open up a time of sharing. I thought today, this really felt like I need gratitude in my life. And I work at being grateful, and I know you do too. And sometimes we can help each other to be grateful. And just to say some of the things we're thankful for. We're going to do that a bit in a moment here. You know, it's what worship, it's really the foundation of worship is gratitude. It's a heart that says, I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to praise you. You've been so good to me, you know, and maybe you can think of brief things. This isn't a time when you get your 5 minutes, you know, with a microphone in your hand. It's the time when you can just say a line or a few things or even just a word. What are we thankful for? You know, how can we lift up this King of Kings? How can we worship this Christ who is beyond all imagination, who is God himself? Before we do that, just a couple things. I want to let you know we had a meeting yesterday with our leadership team. A couple things that I think you might be interested in. One thing is that Tim Caldo, that's how you say your last name, Caldo. Tim. And Barb, as well as Alvin, is that correct, are going to be starting and investigating and they're praying about deliverance ministry. And we really believe that we need to see people who are gifted in deliverance use those gifts of deliverance, and that there's a lot of people that we work with and that are ministering, we're ministering to, who have deliverance issues. And so we want to pray for them and just ask that God will lead them. It's possible that there may be a few other people that will join them. We'll just leave God, you know, that open door. But it's really an important thing, and I just want to bring it to your attention because it's so important. There are some people who, you know, they need inner healing. That's part of what deliverance is. Some might be, you know, filled with a demon, and that demon needs to be cast out. And we'd be the first to admit that we're not all that good at doing that. We're learning about it, which is all the more reason why we need your prayers for that. So would you do that? Will you pray for that? You know how it is sometimes? Maybe you've experienced this where you come in the presence of someone and you just know there's something evil there. You ever had that before? You get that where you just go, man, there's just something, I don't even know how to describe it. Well, I mean, the Bible is full of stories of people who were needing to be delivered, right? There are people who were, you know, full of demons. Why would we think that that's all, you know, so different today? The enemy will still work in whatever ways he can to possess people or to oppress people. Another thing just to bring to your attention is this is Hilly, and we could use some more help in our Sunday school, and we've asked you that before, and there have been a lot of responses to that. So if you are at all inclined to teach little children, if it's even crossed your mind vaguely, God's probably calling you to it. So, I mean, even if the thought has crossed your mind, just in a flighting way, just went through your head one time really fast and said, you know, I could teach Sunday school. That was the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit convicting you. And we want to really see that our children are cared for well. And we're thinking of, we have a lot of kids coming to Sunday school, and that's a growing population among us. We're hoping to even start another class because there's too many kids coming to the smaller class. We're going to start a class of kids from what grade? Age 10 to 14. So consider that. Again, this is Hilly. Talk to her, and she'll get your name on the list. There's material that's provided. You're not expected to make everything up. It's just an opportunity to help with our kids. All right. What are you thankful for? Dave, I know you're thankful.
I believe that I'm thankful. Sometimes we try and figure out God and how to prompt into doing things for us. One of the words Stan just said a minute ago was believe. It's probably one of the most amazing and important words in all of Scripture and probably in all of our lives is to simply believe. We try and figure out God, but if we simply trust Him and believe Him, He does things for us. I fell under my car last week, and well, it's 2 weeks ago now, and fractured my pelvic area in three places. And got up and finished brushing off the car and went to the bank, and it got worse and worse and worse, and finally went to the hospital, and they didn't let me out. Pain was intense. Anyway, they took x-rays. Three x-rays showed that there was three fractures in the pelvic area, and they weren't satisfied. The next day, they took some more x-rays and confirmed this. The doctor still wasn't satisfied. However, that evening, we gathered around the bed in the hospital and prayed that God would heal. And it was amazing. Next morning, I was scheduled for CAT scan, which is a pretty conclusive examination. It showed nothing.
Yeah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
I just have to praise Him. If it was anything I did, somebody said good for you, but it is good for God.
Yeah.
Dr. Laroque said, we don't know what's going on, but he said there's a bunch of blood accumulated and it'll take some time to get away, I guess. Other than that, I have no explanation. I just said, thank you, Jesus.
That's all you need to say.
You do amazing things.
Thank you, Lord.
Just, if we just ask, He says He wants to heal us.
What a great report. Thank you, Christy. Right. That's right. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Andy. Go ahead, Andy.
In our morning devotional time, we're reading Psalms and Proverbs. And there's two that really come to mind. One is where a happy heart brings a smile to the face, which makes it a whole lot easier to look at the other one where it says, refresh and be refreshed, which again brings the happy heart to the smile to the face.
Good word from God's word. Go ahead, Ken. Amen? Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
It's a real encouragement for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Yes, it is. Amen. Nick.
I'm thankful that our Lord is, he's always on time, he's never late. And if you read the Daily Bread today, it says, why cause grief? Obey those who rule over you, for they watch out for your souls. Our gracious Father, thank you for the person you led to our church's pastor. May we provide encouragement and support, and may you protect our pastor from error in both words and actions. And Stan, you needed this a week or so ago when people
still
were speaking,
need it, actually.
When people were speaking out against us, but Jesus is here to tell you that today.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Me, what I want to thank the Lord for, that God said that earth and heaven will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Because the word of God is eternal life for our soul. And the word of Jesus in the Bible, if you have a Bible with the word of God in red letters, I recommend you to read the word of God, because God said we need more than bread, but every word to come out of his mouth. He's telling us that we need more than breakfast and lunch and supper and midnight snack. We need the word of God who come out of his mouth. And they are, I pray that God will provide Bible with red letters, that you can read the word of God, and that the truth of God will set you free. That you will not believe the lie of the enemy, but because you will know the word of Jesus, you will walk in his freedom on this narrow path to reach him at the end of your life.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank you the other night for staying up until you were so late when you spoke Thursday. Both of them said no. They didn't want to face it. They didn't want to face for me. So I want to say thank
you. Yeah. Amen. Kim.
I'm so thankful now that the kids are all getting along. I'm getting along with both kids. We're a family again. And I'm lucky to be walking. I broke my neck years ago, and I should have been quadriplegic or dead. And when I broke my neck, they did an incision right here, and they took bone out of my hip into my neck, and they cut the vertebrae out, and they put the cylinder of bone that they took out of my hip in my neck, and two clamps with a metal plate. And I'm so thankful that I'm walking and that I'm able to do these things now.
Amen.
I have a walker, but I'm going to get rid of the walker too.
Amen. Thank you. Woo! Amen.
I'm thankful for God for bringing me out of, I heard somebody going to treatment, and that's the best thing that for anybody that has an addiction problem, because I know all about it, I've gone through it, and I don't have to go through it again.
That's right.
But God has guided me through that. He has dealt with my hip, and do you know what? God is always on my side.
That's right.
And he's always here for you guys too. God
Good
bless
word.
You.
Amen. Oh yeah, Marie.
Yeah, I would just like to thank God for teaching me. One of the things that he has been teaching me is to keep all earthly knowledge as strong and to depend entirely on the system. And he's such an amazing God. I mean, Paul was taught by in the midst of his teaching, God allowed his teacher and pastor in the top 5% of the world.
Whoa.
And in the midst of that, his only opportunity should be better, but showing me I cannot rely on that knowledge, only his wisdom.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
He is amazing. Thank you, Lord. Jerry. Yes, God. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thanks. Praise God. That's good. Yeah. That's right. That's great. Just stay standing, Brian. You want to pray for her and maybe thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. To you, God. Amen. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, God. Yes, God. In Jesus' name. That's right. Amen. Is it time for a couple more here? Sonny, you had your hand up, right?
First of all, I want to say, again, I'm thankful to the Lord for the prayers of you faithful saints. When I was in the hospital, I didn't know this till after the fact, neither did my wife, because they didn't tell us, but I was near death. And your prayers and the power of your prayers are what I really believe pulled me through.
Amen.
And that proves the faithfulness of God, because when we went into the hospital, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? We say we believe in this man named Jesus. Well, you know what? Now we're going to put it to the test, because I'm hanging on to that. And whatever happens, I win. So.
Amen.
Good work.
Leslie. Go ahead, Les.
I'm very thankful for Jesus for dying at the cross for us in
Amen. 9 years is with the Lord, right? Amen. One last one will be Ricky.
Good morning, everybody. I am so thankful for the presence of God in my life. Last Monday, I had a little talk with Stan, and he wanted to encourage me. I said, no, don't, because I just can't take it right now. Just there is something in our family that really is a battle for me. And sometimes I come just to the end of myself in that, because then I think there are no answers. So Stan backed off. But Tuesday morning, I got up, made a cup of coffee, sat with the Lord, and I said, you know what, Lord? I am going to praise you the way I have never, ever praised you before. I just refuse this, whatever it is, depression or unbelief, I don't know, but I can't take no more. But before I could even praise him, the glory of God came into my living room. And it was an unexplainable move. It was amazing. And I know at that moment I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. And if there was somebody that would have shot me at that time, I couldn't have cared less. There was a peace that is unbelievable. Yeah. And we can have that from time to time. It also lifted, but I knew when I sat down, I said, Lord, what was this thing? It came so, it wasn't even me, it was just you.
Yeah.
And I knew that powers in my family that wants to bring us down were broken. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know.
Amen. Good work. All right. This is unrehearsed. Stand up. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing it again. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I will enter. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Alive, 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 alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. This is alive. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. One more time. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has given. Woo! Hallelujah! Lift him up. Lift him up. Your name, O God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hammer, would you come here? Where did I put that thing? Good thing I have you. I want you to meet my friend Hammer. And we call him Hammer. No problem. Hammer doesn't know English very well. That's right, right? You don't know English too well. You're learning it?
No, more, but yeah.
You want to say something?
Yes. I am Hammer. I am from in Iraq. I am new here in Canada, in Red Deer. Thank you, my God, because all of here is my family, because I am here, I'm single. But in my place, and in my building, I believe all of this, my family here. Mm. Thank you, my God. Mm-hmm. And because everything I say myself why I am here, I'm sorry, because my country is very dangerous now and after. I'm sorry. Now in my country, more terrorists. Yeah. Why, I don't know. Mm. But I believe God is near.
Amen.
And God, Jesus God, and myself and is near. Yeah. Sometimes I ask God and myself why I am here, but sometimes in the night, to me, one Bible English and one Bible Arabic. I reading. I believe the truth in the Bible.
Amen.
If you know Jesus come, more fire in all of the world, more killed now, more tsunami in all of the world. If you know Jesus come, no peace. But in myself, yes, peace now. And again, thank you, my God.
Amen.
And thank you, my Pastor Stan is near to me. And thank you, all of the people in Red Deer and in Canadian.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Will you pray?
I am sorry, I am not good to speak English, but...
you are good to speak English.
Thank you.
Can I ask you to do me a favor? And would you speak in Arabic? Would you pray for us in Arabic?
You
can speak English if you want, but feel free to speak in Arabic. Today, just pray for us in Arabic. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
شكراً إلهي ربي يسوع المسيح يسوع جلب لي السلام جلب لي الاطمئنان جلب إلى ما في داخلي القوة power جلب لي الحرية freedom
yes freedom
yeah يسوع المسيح قريب من كل شخص فاتح أبوابه للجميع إذا أراد شخصا أن يشعر بقوة السلام أن يشعر بالاطمئنان فعليه أن يتمسك بيسوع المسيح يسوع فدى نفسه من أجلنا ضحى بدمه من أجلنا فعلينا أن نتمسك به لأنه هو الطريق الوحيد للسلام إيمان
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Wow, do I ever appreciate that. And that was unrehearsed. He didn't know he was going to be asked to speak. Thank you, Hammer. But you're going to find out. I think we're going to just do the word, okay? Hey, you know what? We should all have that question. So I think that's the great question. What does God have to say this morning? Because he speaks. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Man, God's moving here. And, I feel so encouraged. We ought to be encouraged. And God says that he gives us that spirit of encouragement. And I feel like that's just what's been really moving, that Holy Spirit has been moving through us and giving us encouragement and reminding us that, yeah, there's a battle, and sometimes, you know, that fight isn't easy. In fact, most of the time, the fight isn't easy, but it's a battle that's already been won through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Remember that. Remember that even though sometimes it seems like we're still in a warfare, man, we're not living in Iraq, and we have so much to be thankful for, and we have... You know, we have everything at our disposal, all the power of God. And we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. So the Holy Spirit today, as we open your word, just as Amar prayed, we pray too that your power would be clear. And as our brother here said, we want to hear from you, Jesus. So speak clearly today in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you again this week to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. We've been learning about the jars of clay and that God puts this amazing treasure of the light of the glory of Jesus Christ is in jars of clay, and those jars of clay are people like us. And he talks about, you know, how that there's weakness in us sometimes. That's what God chooses to do. He chooses, you know, he could put us in a safe. He could put this treasure in a safe or put it in a bank. But instead, he decides to put the light of Christ in people like you and me. God knows there's a risk when he does that. He knows that we're not always going to shine the light the way we're supposed to. He knows that sometimes we're going to be put in a vulnerable position. But God chooses to put his light in you. And he puts his light in me. And we're going to just carry on with our study of that today, reading this time from verse 10 on. And so he says this, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Amen? Let me read that again. You know, if you're drifting off, it's time to get back. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus, and he will present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Amen. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You say amen? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God. So much to learn in here. It's such a rich teaching. And, you know, Paul, as I said before, you know, he's dealing with lots of opposition when he writes these words. This was a hard time in the life of Paul particularly, but also in the life of the early church. And the bad news was it was only going to get worse. They're already being persecuted. There's already a great backlash by the Judaizers and by the Romans and by others. They're being persecuted, but it was going to get much worse. It was going to be, you know, more people losing their lives, more people suffering and undergoing great pain because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and because the early Christians made a decision. They chose that they're going to stand up for Jesus no matter what. And so that resulted, in a few years, it was going to result in them being fed to lions. There was a Roman emperor by the name of Diocletian who had he took great joy in torturing Christians, and one of the ways he tortured them was he had a cast iron throne. It was actually like a throne, and he would heat it up until it was white or it was red, and then he would put Christians in it, and he'd just fry them up, you know, and just wrap them to it and push them down, and Christians died, you know, in some of the most horrible ways. It was a time in the period of Christianity where there was a great deal of persecution and a great deal of suffering, a lot of death. And sometimes we think that that's not happening today, and it's true, it doesn't happen here. And we spent a little time last week talking about that we're not really persecuted. We're oppressed, and we go through some hard times sometimes. But believe me, there are parts of the world like Iraq and like North Korea and like China, like some of the other African countries, Sudan. There's some incredible suffering that's going on in the name of Christ, and there are people today who will die because they will not relent the name of Christ. Paul is really talking here about our human frailty, and that's where I want to start today. And with these words, when he says this, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus. That's an interesting thing to read. We who are alive, he means we who are Christians, we who have been born again, we who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. In other words, because of our weakness and our mortality, because of the glaring weaknesses in us, we're human, because of our glaring humanity, when we follow Christ and when Christ is the Lord of our lives and when we're not willing to surrender to anyone but him, his name is praised and life, his life is, the life of Christ is raised in us and in the church and in the world all around. And that's a really an important message, although I think it's a message we don't really hear very often because it has to do with suffering, it has to do with carrying a cross, like the word says. It has to do with standing up for Christ and saying, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, no matter what. And it doesn't matter if it's not going to be popular, and it doesn't matter what people say, and it doesn't matter how it might damage my reputation. I'm going to stand with other believers, and we're going to follow you, Jesus, and we're going to follow you right to the end, whatever that means. We're weak, and it's something that Paul highlights here. There's a glaring human condition, a glaring weakness in all of us. We're jars of clay, and as jars of clay, I don't know about you, but my jar, as I get older, it gets weaker. It's more cracked, and some of it starts to crumble, and everything doesn't work the way it did when I was 25 years old. When you're 25 years old, you think you can just take on the world, and I had more energy than was probably even healthy. But as I get older, I realize that the jar of clay that God puts His Holy Spirit in today in me, and the light that's in me, the jar of clay becomes more and more mortal. It's more cracked. There's more struggles with it. And the interesting thing is that God's Word says that's a good thing. It's a good thing because the weaker I become, the stronger God is in my life. The more I am, the more the glaring humanity in me, the more that humanity and the weakness and the traits that go along with that weakness, the more those things stand out in my life, the more Christ is praised, the more, He says, the more there's death in me, we carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in my body. So that it's no longer, you know, as you get older, it's no longer about everything I can do and how powerful and how strong I am. You learn, I think, sometimes as you get older that it's just got to all be about Jesus. I am not going to live forever in this body, and neither are you. I am not. We need Christ to give us that new body. So He's talking about our human weakness, about just the trait of the fact that we're mortal. And we see that in Jesus too. And it's important that we do today. That we see, it's really on the cross that we see the humanity of Jesus, right? I want you to think about the cross a little bit this morning, because God shows us the humanity of His Son. Even though Jesus is very God of very gods, He is divine in every way, fully God, Jesus was also fully human when He came to earth. He put aside, the Bible says, He laid aside His divinity so that He could become like us in every way. Isn't that an amazing thought? Jesus was like us in every way. And at the cross, when Jesus hangs on the cross, we see the glaring humanity of Jesus. You can see it in His blackened eyes, you know, where they punched Him out. You can see it in His swollen lips and His swollen ears where they beat Him. His back was a ravaged mess as if someone had taken a chainsaw to it. And his forehead, you know, there was blood and it was all mangled because they put a crown of thorns on His head. And those thorns were 2 inches long and they were sharp as needles. And they didn't just put it on His head like that. No, they put it on His head and then they twisted it. Relax. They twisted it like a bottle cap. And so, I mean, his forehead was just a mangled mess. And we need to see that today. Because you need to see the humanity of Jesus. That He was like us in every way. He suffered immensely. Philippians says that he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He took on the very nature of a servant. And becoming like man in every way, he laid down His life. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know what that really means is he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. What he means by that is he didn't pull out his divinity card and slap it on the table and say, wait a minute, I'm God and I'm not going to put up with this. He didn't do that. Instead, what Jesus did is He just laid that aside. He said, I'm not going to pull up that card. It's a trump card. I could have, but I'm going to suffer and I'm going to show you the immense weakness and the human frailty of the Son of Man as I die for every one of you, as I give my life for you. And as he did that, and here's really the point, as Jesus does that, as He hangs on the cross, as He shows us the amazing humanity of God Himself, I mean, this isn't just anybody, this is God. This is God in human flesh. The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He hung on the cross. This is God who did this. You need to know this, that it's as He did that, as He hung and suffered, and because He did, that there's glory to God in the highest. You understand? There would be no resurrection if there was no death. He suffered so that the Father could be glorified. You get that? I'm going to say it again. He suffered in this way. He showed His human weakness so that the Father could be glorified and so that He could be raised on the third day and declare victory. There would be no victory if it were not for that suffering. Do you understand that? There would be no victory. There would be no freedom unless Jesus demonstrated for us that He was human and weak and willing to go all the way to the cross for us. Yeah, wow. Such an amazing God. This is the story of salvation, and it's the story of salvation for all who believe. For everyone who will receive this, you will receive the gift of eternal life, God's Word says. And you know what strikes me when I read this passage, these words today, is that God wants so much to lift us up out of the dust, out of the ashes. He wants to do that in your life. And yeah, it's not just Jesus, it's us too. We know about humanity. I think every one of us knows about humanity. Every one of us deals with weakness sometimes. Sometimes we got a sickness you're dealing with, right? Sometimes we're financially broke. Maybe it's a relationship that's just gone completely backwards or sideways. There's lots of ways that we demonstrate that humanity in our lives, that we show the weakness. But God wants to raise us up out of that. God wants to raise us up out of the dust. He wants to lift us up out of that death into the life that He's given to us. Don't be distracted. Look at these words. I don't know if they're up here. 13, I think, is what I want. And just listen to these words. Here we go. Listen to this. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus, and He will present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You get that? He wants us to hear this encouragement so that we have this spirit of faith, and so that we understand that the grace that is reaching more and more people will cause thanksgiving to overflow. And it has to do with faith. Really, it does. You know, it comes down to faith and what we believe. Paul says, we don't live, you know, it's not what we see, it's what we don't see. That really matters. And yeah, amen. But it's hard, right? It's hard to have that kind of faith where we're going to just believe even though we don't always see it. We live in an empirical world. We live in a scientific world. We live in a world where we're told and we were taught, we went to school, that we should have evidence for everything that we're going to believe in. But, you know, it doesn't work when it comes to Christianity. Christianity, we're saved, you know, by faith, through grace. It's by grace, it's through faith. We need to believe this. We need to believe in what God has said and how he's moving and how He wants to direct us. We need to believe it. And it isn't by faith. It's a faith statement. I believe in God. I believe that God is in control of my life. And I want to say that because there are some of us who are struggling. Probably all of us. You know, if you really look at your life, there are hard things. There are weaknesses. There's frailty. That's probably the word. You feel frail for any number of reasons. You can feel frail because you're getting older. You can feel frail because you're easily tempted. Any number of ways that we can feel frail. But the good news is that God wants to lift us up through the power of Jesus Christ. He wants to lift us up out of the ashes. Are you getting it? Out of the ashes so that we're raised to a new life. He's a God of victory. He's a God of freedom. But here's the thing. Some of us, sometimes, we just get so used to eating the ashes and staying in the ashes and burying our head in the ashes that we never look up to God and we never reach out our hands to Him. You need to reach out your hands to Him. And many of you know what I'm talking about, because there was a time in your life where finally you got sick and tired of the way that you were living and you said, God, help me. And before you knew it, before you even said me, God had you by the wrist and He was picking you up, right? Right. But here's something God will never do. God will never pry your fingers open. He won't. If you're angry with God, if you're angry with your father, or you don't forgive someone, or if your heart is filled with self-pity or bitterness, God will never say, well, let me just try to get your fingers unclenched. He won't do that. The Bible says that He stands at the door and He knocks. It does not say He stands at the door and He kicks it in. He doesn't do that. Right? So he waits for us to open our hands. He waits for us to surrender our self-pity and our anger, maybe just our whole self. Surrender to him and say, Lord God, I am ready to stop eating ashes. And I'm ready to stand up and praise you and to live for you, God. Are you ready for that? It's about surrendering completely and totally to God and believing in faith that he is exactly what the Word says. So that, you know, when we go through a hard time, when we're feeling particularly human or weak, we can still say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God, like we're saying. Right? I believe in faith today that, God, you're still in control, even when it doesn't seem like it. I believe that you're going to lead me through the fire, and if I'm to go through the fire, you will not abandon me. I believe it. I believe that even though I might be lonely, I'm not alone. And I believe that even though I die, I will not perish. Do you believe that? There are some things worse than death. Yeah. You know, that's not something you're going to hear in the world. The whole world, we're driven with these ideas and this teaching that the worst thing in the world that can ever happen to you is death. So avoid it at all costs. That's the message of the world. Right? Avoid it. Stay away from it. Stay healthy. Run, you know, eat good. Do whatever you can. Maybe you can extend your life from 75 years to 78 years. And boy, that would be a great thing, the world says. Because there is nothing worse than death. Well, there are things way worse than death. Death, if you're a Christian, death is, you know, I don't want to say it's no big deal, although Paul, we'll get to this in a minute, it's kind of what Paul says. Death is not the end. When I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to live with him forever. And I promise you this, when I die, there's going to be a big sigh of relief. That last breath I take is going to be one of these, oh, it is good. It is good. It is well. Right? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. There are things worse than death. Living without Christ is worse than death. Living in this world and chasing after that first million or that second property or all the fun things in life. You think that's such a great life, but there that's worse than death because you will not have Christ. You will not live with him. You will be so alone. You will be so lonely on your deathbed. There are things worse than death. And here's, this is maybe a hard teaching, and it sounds really not very empathetic and not very loving, but really it's what Paul says. And I'm a little angry with him, actually, or I was when I read these words. I thought, man, Paul, you are not a very good pastor. A good pastor would not say this. But Paul says this. He says, the troubles that we have are momentary and light. Are you kidding me? I'm not making this up. I mean, what a lousy pastor. The troubles we have in this world, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And yeah, I'm saying amen today because I'm preaching on it. But you know, there's times when I look at it and I go, come on. Who are you, Paul? Who are you to tell me that my troubles are light and momentary? You have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea the hard things. You have no idea the long road that this has been. And it is irritating, Paul, when you tell me that my troubles are light and momentary when they seem pretty heavy and lasting day after day and sometimes year after year. And yet, as callous as this might sound and as unpastoral, it is absolutely the truth. You need to hear this today, that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, no matter what battle is that you're battling, maybe you feel like you're losing, and even if it's about death and you're getting nearer and nearer to death, it doesn't matter. Like, honestly, in God's economy, and maybe this is hard to understand, but for God, death is no big deal at all. He's already defeated it. Like, he doesn't really even care that much about it because he knows that you're going to live with him forever. You're going to be with me. God is not worried about you, Mitch. He is not worried about you. I tell my wife that when she tells me I shouldn't eat macaroni and cheese and other things that apparently are not good for my health. And I said, but Crystal, honey, I'm going to be with the Lord, and I just think I should enjoy some things in this life. And I can say these things because she's in the nursery today. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna live forever. Are you getting this? That these light and momentary things that are happening in our lives, they consume us because we just keep our faces in the ashes. And there will be no beauty without ashes. You need to get your head out of the ashes. I need to recognize that all power is from God, and the death and the weakness and the human frailty in my life is only for one purpose, and that is to proclaim the glory of the risen Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be with Him forever. There are things worse than death. Not knowing Jesus, my friends. Not knowing Jesus is way worse than death. This week on Wednesday morning, I usually go to a ministerial meeting and pray about that, because we're down to six men right now, six members, or six people were there. I shouldn't say that. There's probably 10 people that come, but this is a small group, and it seems like less pastors and ministers want to go. Anyway, whole other issue, other story. Pray for it. We had a guy speak, though, this week. I want to just tell you a little bit about his story. His name is George Harrison. And no, he's not one of the Beatles, which is what I thought, too. George Harrison is actually a pastor at large. He's a missionary. And I realize now, after I met him, that we've been praying for him every Sunday night for a long, long time, because Doug McLean prays for Pastor George. And so we were praying for him. I didn't even know we were praying for him. We were just praying for some guy named Pastor George. But Pastor George also took Doug and a few others to Cuba on a mission trip a few years ago. That might clue you in a little bit on this. Anyways, he was speaking. He is working in the South Sudan right now, one of the absolute hot spots and most dangerous places to be in all the world. Yeah, he's from Trinity. Or Liberty. Liberty, sorry. He's from Liberty. He goes to Liberty Church. Pray for the man. He was going on Thursday to South Sudan. He was gonna fly there and carry on with his ministry there. There's a little town in the South Sudan where the rebels have done such terrible atrocities. The little town's called Bor, B-O-R. And they had a church there of 800 people, a nice little church that was built that was completely burned down, as was most of that town. It wasn't just a little town. It was a pretty good sized city. It was almost all burned to the ground by rebels and by Muslims and with, you know, people who were in opposition to Christianity. And he said this, I don't want to belabor this, but he said this. He said, you know, someone said to me, you know, why are you going back to South Sudan? Because right now, as a matter of fact, just on Saturday, in that very same city, a missionary doctor from Calgary was killed yesterday. In this same city. He's going back there. He's on his way there right now. And he said, I'm going back because the Bible doesn't say go into all the world if it's safe. And I might lose my life, but that's okay. I will do so for the sake of Christ. And he told this story. He said, you know, the last time we were there, we never travel at night because it isn't safe, but we had to go a long distance, so we left at 5:00 in the morning. And as we were leaving the town of Bor, there was rebels there, and they had a check stop, and their lives were in peril, in great danger, and they had the machine guns, and he said, get out, and so he was only two of them, him and the other missionary got out of their truck, and put their hands up, and he said, and then, these are his words, he said, and then I heard an audible voice. It wasn't just a voice in my head. He said, I heard an audible voice that said, leave these men alone, they're missionaries. And he said, as that voice was spoken, these guns went down, and all these men took back 3 or 4 steps. And Pastor George and the other man, I don't know his name, they got in their truck. George looked at the other guy. He says, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take that as a clue that we should get out of here. And so they got in the truck, and they took off. And he said, as they left, they could see behind them that the truck behind them, they blew it up, and they killed 6 people. There were 6 people who were killed in the vehicle directly behind them. Because God was taking care of them. But it's also, the point is that they're also prepared and they were willing to stand up for Christ no matter what. They were prepared to endure not just opposition, but persecution and even death. And I'm just saying to you today, I'm not saying this, God's saying this to you today. There are things worse than death, and that when we die, we have something so much greater to look forward to. And that I don't believe just on the basis of what I see, but it's on the faith of what is unseen. We are going to live with Christ forever. You get that? We're going to live for Christ, with Christ forever. There's a day that's going to come for every one of us. There is a day that is going to come, and your number is going to get called. God's going to say, now is the day. Apparently for Pastor George, it wasn't that day, but his day is going to come too. There's a day when your name is going to be called, and God's going to say, it's time for you to stand before me. And I pity the people who stand before Christ, and he says to them, okay, how did you live, and what did you do with me in your life? How did you respond? And they say, well, God, I have this great bucket list that I lived for, and let me tell you about my bucket list. I wanted to see Paris, and I saw Paris, and I wanted to own my own house and have my mortgage paid for, and I got my mortgage paid for. I have a bucket list of the things that I live for, and I got almost the whole list done. And I pity people like that, because God's going to say, you know, there's only one thing on that list that mattered. And that thing is this. Did you live for me? Or did you live for you? I think you're right. Amen. Would you put that song on? I want you to, you know, I just came across this morning. And I just felt like something we needed to see at the conclusion of this message. So may God bless us with this. Can you put the...
all your affliction momentary, not only your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond, more pain from fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what it's seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you've got cancer at 40, when a car careens at the sidewalk and takes them out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
I realize that there's a risk in running that because people could think, and these are words, the words of Job. You know, Job said to God, though you slay me, even so I'm going to praise you, and you are still my redeemer. The risk is that people think, well, you know, God's going around slaying people, and he's ruining them, and he's doing psh, 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 psh. That's not what Job was trying to say. What Job was trying to say was, even if you would, I'm going to follow you, God. Even if it looks to me today like, yeah, you're out to get me, or I'm going to be ruined, I'm going to love you, God. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you no matter what. No matter what. Today, if you need prayer, you need Jesus, you want to give your life to him, maybe you need to just be sure that you're going to spend that glory with him. Just come. We're going to conclude our service with this song, and I just invite you to come. And it's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer that just says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new. Forgive me. Amen. Can we stand? Let's worship.
When I stand before your throne, dressed in glory of my own, what a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears and broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key. Everything it was meant to be. Well, worship, worship. Forever in your presence, we will sing. Worship, worship you, and the hallelujah.
the people come up for prayer. I will see you as you are, love with a beating heart. See how much you pay to bring me home. Not till then, Lord, shall I know, not till then how much I owe. Everything I am before your throne. You will worship you, worship you. Forever in your presence, we will sing. We will worship, worship you. Endless hallelujah to the King. Worship, worship, forever in your presence, we will sing, and we will worship, worship you, endless hallelujah to the King.
No more tears,
no more tears, no more shame.
And we will worship, worship, forever in your presence, we will sing, we will worship, worship you, and let's hallelujah to the King. We will worship, worship, forever in your presence, we will sing, and we will worship, worship you, endless hallelujah to the
King.
We will worship, worship. Forever in your presence, we will sing, and we will worship, worship you, an endless hallelujah to the King.
And we will worship,
worship,
forever in your presence, we will sing.
And we will worship, worship you,
an endless hallelujah
to the King.
Remember that we are going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever, that we're going to reign with Him. There will be no tears. There will be no cancer. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more death. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His eternal peace. Amen?
Amen.
Go with joy. Go with gratitude. Serve the Lord.
We will worship, worship forever.
We will sing, we will worship, worship you, and the hallelujah to the King.
We will
will sing, and we will worship.
to the King.
Let's do that, all the people. All the people sitting in.
Yeah, because I walked right under the microphone, didn't even watch it.